Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Rest in peace to you all. Our Lord comes and continually reveals to us in the Gospels that the world that we experience day to day needs to be turned upside down. And it's expressed in a rather vivid way in today's Gospel in his encounter with John the forerunner, John the Baptist. A run-of-the-mill person in the area of the Jordan was coming out to be baptized by John, who thought he was the Holy One, and that he had this, by his, you know, baptism, by his touch, by his plunging you into the water, was kind of doing this ministry of cleansing you from your sins. He was a holy person extending this holiness to you. But our Lord comes, and St. John realizes that he doesn't really have any business at all plunging this person under the water, recognizes him as the Messiah, and he recognizes that, no, I'm not the Holy One here. I need to be baptized by you. The world's upside down. And of course, as we know, Jesus doesn't allow it. Jesus doesn't allow John to get away with it, to escape. His role in baptizing our Lord. The hymns of the church on this feast frequently sort of sneak in the phrase that this becomes St. John's sanctification. That John is sanctified by baptizing his Lord. And we have phrases like the servant is baptized by the servant. Christ came not only to take on human flesh, to become one of us and tempted in every way, but actually to become our servant. He himself said, you have things upside down. The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom. So this service extends even to the point of death, which is, of course, baptism is an image of this death. And the one who puts his hand on you and plunges you under the water is the one drowning you. Is the one who's taking you to your death, is the one in the imagery crucifying you. So it's a strange thing that St. John is sanctified by this, really, this act of imagery of killing our Lord. Hard for us to get our head around, but it's this reminder that things are always upside down in the kingdom of God. The things that make sense to us in this world are blinders for the same way things work in the kingdom of God. St. Gregory, the theologian, in his homily emphasizes this theme that St. John is sanctified by this action of baptizing the Lord. And he's able to receive that sanctification because he comes with such profound humility, this hesitancy, this awareness of who it is that he's beholding and touching. We have images in the hymns like he shudders. Draws back the fear. A lot of the imagery of the Jordan waters is quite similar to the terminology used for St. John, the sort of hesitancy, this awe, this restraint in the presence of the Son of God become the Son of Man. St. Gregory goes on to say that it's not only for the sanctification of St. John, but our Lord is baptized, he says, to bury the old Adam. He's taken on himself human nature, and in the life of the church that's believed to be the perfect human nature, the created nature. But we, with St. John, place our hands on the Lord so that he who knew no sin became sin. He takes on not only the sins of St. John, but there's a strange and mystical way in which we ourselves, with St. John, have our hands on the head of the Lord and plunge him under the waters. What plunged him under the waters isn't a hand, but it's our sin. What took him to his death is not some Roman soldiers nailing his hands into the wood, but our sins. I remember quite vividly one homily, you know, that Father Roman used to give after the liturgies often in the old chapel. And it must have been, I'm guessing, near the Pascha time, because he came out and he said, you know, often people talk about the Jews being the ones who killed Jesus. And then he said, really, just quite stern, the Jews didn't kill Jesus, I did. It's my sins who put Jesus on the cross. I think that's what St. Gregory is getting at in this burying the old Adam. We all share in the human nature, but in our case, the fallen human nature, not just the created nature, but that nature which is corruptible and which is filled with the passions and given over to the temptations that keep asking us to replace our Creator with some created thing. And so in the feast today, St. John is sanctified, but human nature is sanctified because the old Adam is buried. And the old Adam is buried. We participate in that in the same way that St. John did, by coming face to face with this reality that we are the ones who put our hand on his head and plunge him into water. And that there's this profound kind of reluctance to do it, but and also no way out. There's no other way of salvation. There's no other way to be sanctified. And yet to come face to face with the fact that we're the ones that put him on the cross. His holiness seems too much for us. We can't bear it. And yet he demands that we come near it and touch it. So that transferal of our life to his life is what becomes necessary for his life to be transferred to our life, for the old Adam to be made new in the new Adam. And then finally, the baptism is for the sanctification of the water. We have that in the hymns. It's not so clear and explicit in the gospel teachings, but in the teaching of the church from the earliest reflections on this feast, and especially in the prayer that we'll hear in the Great Blessing of Waters after the Divine Liturgy. And the waters are sanctified, filled with the light of Christ. In the ancient times, for example, in St. Gregory's sermon, the homily is called the Holy Lights. Not the Holy Light singular, but the Holy Lights. Because, as St. Gregory explains, the light of Christ, who's baptized, is the light of the world. And he comes in to fill the whole world with illumination, with his illumination, not with created light, but with his uncreated light. And so each and every human being who responds to receive that light becomes one of the lights, filled with the light of Christ. But that illumination extends even to the waters, which become an expression of all of creation. We read, for example, yesterday, and I think we will again today, some of the readings, not as many texts from Isaiah. And especially where we have this image of the desert being this barren place and lifeless and dead. But in the kingdom of God, it's going to be refreshed and filled with streams and teeming with life and growth, fruitfulness. And so the waters are blessed to remind us that not just to remind us, but to become the tangible, mystical manifestation of this, turning the desert, dryness, death of this world into a place of life, a place of streams of living water, like the first song. The blessed person, the blessed man, is the one who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. And it says that he's like a tree planted by streams of running water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf doesn't wither. That's the image of today's feast, that this water that we will sanctify later today is water that goes out into all of the world to create these streams of living, of running water that give life to a world that so desperately needs it. I think we'll read on Saturday what happens immediately after the baptism. It's when after the baptism, our Lord is led by the Holy Spirit out into the desert, out in the place of death and dryness where nothing can grow, only where demons live. And we're told he's led out there to be tempted by Satan, to enter into this combat with death. That's how his ministry is inaugurated. The very first thing he does isn't to go to the synagogue and start teaching. He goes to the place of death, because that's what he's going to transform. So in today's feast, St. John has sanctified, and all of humanity is sanctified, the human nature is sanctified, and all human beings are allowed to enter into that sanctification in the same way that St. John did. But all of creation is transformed and changed, filled with the light of Christ, illumined, made alive, filled with the fruitfulness that only the divine presence can bring to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.